right? So picture this. You're just living your life, minding your own business, and all of a sudden a company comes along and says, hey, we want to mine uranium, like right in your backyard.
Oh, wow.
But then your state's like, no, not so fast. And that is the crazy situation we're diving into today with Virginia Uranium, Kim V. Warren. This Supreme Court case goes deep into states' rights and, you know, where the limits of federal power are.
Yeah.
And we've got some really cool sources to break down today. So I'm excited to get into this.
It's a really interesting case, I think. And it really raises those big questions about how we balance state and federal authority,
I mean,
especially, you know, with something like uranium mining,
yeah, absolutely.
which is so complex and potentially, you know, controversial
Yeah,
for all sorts of reasons.
for sure. And just to set the stage for everyone listening,
Yeah.
Virginia Uranium wants to mine this huge uranium deposit,
Yeah.
but there's this Virginia state law
Right.
that just straight up bans uranium mining.
Oh, wow.
So the company's like, no, the Federal Atomic Energy Act, the AEA, overrules that state law. And that's what brings us to the Supreme Court.
Exactly.
So what was the main thing the court was trying to figure out here?
Well, at the heart of it, they had to decide, does the AEA, you know, which is mainly focused on nuclear safety,
Right.
does it also tell states whether they can or can't ban the actual mining of uranium?
So it's like, how far does the AEA actually reach?
Exactly. It's all about, you know, the scope of the law. What does it actually cover?
So the company's argument is that, look, uranium mining is part of that whole nuclear fuel cycle.
Right.
So it's automatically under federal control. But then the lower courts were like, no, mining itself isn't federally regulated.
Right.
So it all comes down to, what did Congress actually mean when they wrote the AEA?
That's exactly right. And this is where it gets really fascinating.
Okay.
The majority opinion, which was written by Justice Gorsuch and Thomas and Kavanaugh joined him on this,
Okay.
they took a very textualist approach.
Textualist.
Yeah. So they really focused on the specific words in the AEA.
Yeah.
And what they noticed is that it specifically says that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, they have authority over the stuff that happens after mining, like
Right.
processing the uranium and dealing with the waste.
The radioactive waste.
Exactly, the radioactive waste.
So the AEA covers all post-mining stuff, but it doesn't say anything about the mining itself.
That's exactly right. And that silence is key.
Interesting.
To the majority, they see that silence and they say, okay, well, that must mean that states get to keep their traditional power to regulate mining within their borders.
Makes
You
sense.
know, it's that classic states' rights argument.
Yeah.
If the federal government doesn't come right out and say, we control this,
Right.
then that power stays with the states.
Okay, I gotcha. But didn't some people kind of question like Virginia's real motives for this ban? Like, was it really just about the mining part? Or were they maybe trying to like sneakily control those later stages of the nuclear fuel cycle, the
Right.
stuff that is riskier, you
Yeah.
know, the things that AEA does cover?
You've hit on a really crucial point. It's this whole debate about motive versus text.
Oh, interesting.
Because some legal scholars say you can't just ignore what lawmakers intended, even if the words themselves seem pretty clear.
Yeah.
But the majority in this case, they pushed back hard against that.
Really?
They basically said, look, the court can't read minds. Okay,
Uh-huh.
we can't figure out what lawmakers were secretly thinking.
Right.
If the actual words of the law are clear,
Uh-huh.
then the reasons behind it, they don't matter for us.
So even if Virginia was like low-key worried about the whole nuclear safety thing down the line,
Right.
the court's like, nope, the law is about mining. The AEA doesn't say anything about mining.
Right.
Virginia, you win.
Exactly.
It seems pretty straightforward, but I have a feeling there's another side to this.
Oh, there definitely is. We've got a dissenting opinion
Okay.
from Chief Justice Roberts, and Breyer and Alito joined him,
Okay.
and they argued that the majority was being a little too simplistic.
Oh, really?
They felt that Virginia's ban, even though technically it's about mining, it was actually a way for them to regulate what happens after the mining.
Interesting.
You know, those radiological safety concerns, the What? stuff that the AEA does cover,
Right,
they were
exactly.
worried about that.
So the dissent saw it as like a loophole,
Yeah.
a way for states to control things that are supposed to be federal.
Exactly. And they were worried about what kind of precedent this could set. You
Right.
know, imagine if states start using the same tactic
Yeah.
to regulate all sorts of things that are technically under federal control.
Like it could really mess up the whole system.
Right, could throw a wrench in the whole system of federalism.
Wow. Okay. So it definitely raises questions about, you know, how far states can go. But wait, there's even more, right?
Of course, there's more. This case had it all.
Okay, give it to me.
We have a concurrence to consider.
All right, a concurrence.
Yes, this is from Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan.
Wow, okay.
They agreed with the outcome, so they said, yeah, Virginia's ban gets to stay, but they weren't totally on board with the majority's reasoning.
So they sided with Virginia, but they weren't sure about Gorsuch's, like, strictly textualist approach.
Exactly. They basically said, be careful about just ignoring what Congress was trying to do when they wrote the law.
Interesting.
And they pointed to a specific part of the AEA. It's section 2021K.
Okay.
And this section seems to say that states get to keep their powers over things like land use and mining safety.
Which kind of backs up Virginia's position.
Right, even if their motives might have been a little roundabout.
Uh-huh, a little sneaky.
Maybe just a little.
Well, it's a very nuanced point.
It is.
But it shows that there's this debate even within the court.
Yes.
About how much we should think about what Congress intended when we're trying to figure out what laws mean.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating back and forth.
Legal scholars must love this.
Oh, they eat it up.
So it sounds like there are some really strong arguments on both sides.
Definitely.
So what's the big takeaway from Virginia Uranium? Like, what does it tell us?
I think one clear message is that textualism, you know, that focus on what the words actually say.
Right.
That's really important to the Supreme Court right now.
Okay.
Even if it means maybe overlooking some of the bigger picture stuff.
Interesting. So for states, this is a win, right?
It seems like it.
It seems like it gives them more power to regulate what happens in their own backyard.
You got it.
Even when the federal government has a say, but
it also brings up all these new questions about how this will apply to other situations.
Yeah, like my mind's already going all the what ifs.
Oh, I know.
Like, could this decision make states feel like they can push back against the federal government even more?
Hmm.
And in all sorts of areas, not just mining.
That's a great point. And that's something we are going to dig into right after this. Welcome back. So let's unpack some of those what if scenarios you were talking about. What other industries could be affected by this decision?
Well, the first thing that I thought of was fracking. You know, there's already that kind of back and forth between states that want to control what happens on their land, and then the feds, you know, they want to make sure we're producing enough energy. Could a state try to use Virginia uranium to ban fracking? Even if the federal government says, hold on, that messes with, like, interstate commerce or national energy policy.
That's a really good question, and it's one that legal experts are already thinking about a lot, the Virginia uranium ruling. It definitely gives states more power to say, hey, this is our call, but it's not like a guaranteed win, you know? There's still limits to what states can do.
Okay, so what about other controversial industries like cryptocurrency mining?
Mm.
I know some states are already trying to regulate that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Cryptocurrency. That's another fascinating example. You have all these tough questions about energy consumption, you know, the environment and all the financial regulations. Virginia uranium could definitely embolden some states to take a stronger stance when it comes to regulating crypto mining. They could argue that it falls under their power to protect the environment or to oversee financial stuff within their borders.
It feels like this case has opened up this whole can of worms. You know, legal questions that we'll be dealing with for years to come.
It really does. And what I find really interesting is how it might change the way we interpret laws in general.
Mm.
You know, the majority's focus on textualism that could have a ripple effect and influence how courts handle other cases and laws.
Okay, hold on. For those of us who aren't, you know, legal experts,
yeah.
Can you explain what textualism means and why it's such a big deal?
Sure. So basically, textualism is this way of figuring out what a law means by looking at the plain meaning of the words, you know, just what the words say. Textualists believe that judges shouldn't try to read between the lines or add things that aren't actually written in the law.
Okay.
So they're not so worried about what lawmakers intended. They're more focused on what the law actually says.
So in Virginia Uranium, the majority was basically saying the AEA doesn't say anything about mining. So that's the state's problem.
Pretty much, yeah. And this approach could have a big impact on other cases where the law might be a little vague or open to different interpretations.
Right.
It might become harder to argue that a law should be interpreted broadly, you know, based on some hidden purpose or something that was said during the legislative process.
So are you saying that Virginia uranium might make it tougher for the federal government to overrule state laws in the future?
It's definitely possible if courts start taking this stricter, more textualist approach across the board. The feds are going to have to be super clear in their laws if they want to limit what states can do. This could shift the balance of power a bit and give states more freedom to do their own thing.
But didn't the concurrence, you know, the one from Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan, right? Didn't they say something about the limits of this whole textualist thing?
They did. They seemed to suggest that ignoring what Congress was trying to do could be a problem.
Yeah.
That's a great point you made, and it's a good reminder that even on the Supreme Court, you have different opinions about the best way to interpret laws.
Right.
Textualism might be the big thing right now, but it definitely has its critics and some potential downsides.
So for law students who are listening and trying to understand all of this, what's the key takeaway from Virginia Uranium? What's the big lesson here?
I think the main thing to remember is that statutory interpretation, it's not a fixed thing. It's a process that's constantly evolving.
Why?
Virginia Uranium really shows how important it is to understand those different schools of thought like textualism and purposivism.
Right.
And how they work in real life. It also shows how these theoretical debates about the law can have very real consequences in the world.
And it just emphasizes the fact that the power struggle between states and the feds,
yeah,
it's always changing. This case is just one part of a much bigger story.
Exactly. Virginia Uranium gives us this fascinating look into how the Supreme Court wrestles with these fundamental questions about federalism and statutory interpretation. And it leaves us with a lot to think about when it comes to the future of state regulation across all kinds of industries.
You know, we've been focusing a lot on the legal and political angles, but let's not forget about the environmental side of things.
Right.
Uranium mining doesn't exactly have the best reputation when it comes to being environmentally friendly. So what does this ruling mean for the environment?
That's a great point, and it's something we're going to dive into right after this.
Okay, we're back, and now I want to get into that environmental side of Virginia Uranium. You know, it's easy to get lost in all the legal stuff, but we got to think about the planet too. Like, when you think about uranium mining, what are the biggest environmental worries that come to mind?
Well, the main thing to remember is that uranium mining, just by its nature, it has some built-in environmental risks.
Mm.
We're dealing with radioactive materials. There's the potential for groundwater contamination. And then there's that long-term issue of how do we safely dispose of this hazardous waste.
So does the Virginia uranium decision mean that states can just ignore all those risks and let mining companies do whatever they want?
Not really. Remember, this ruling says that states have the power to regulate the actual mining part.
Right.
And that includes things like setting environmental standards, making companies take steps to reduce harm, and they can even ban mining completely if they think the risks are just too high.
Okay, so it's not like a free pass for mining companies.
Nope.
States still have to protect the environment and, you know, their people.
Exactly. The Virginia Uranium case doesn't say that states can just pollute. In fact, some people argue that it actually gives states more power to be even stricter about regulating mining to make sure they're protecting their natural resources and public health.
Okay, but what about that argument that uranium is important for clean energy?
Yeah.
You know, we need it for nuclear power plants, and those help us cut down on greenhouse gases, right?
That's a good point, and it's part of a bigger conversation about whether nuclear power can be part of a sustainable energy future. Even people who really support nuclear energy would agree that uranium mining has to be done carefully with strong safeguards in place to minimize environmental damage.
So it's kind of this balancing act.
Yeah.
Weighing the need for energy against the potential harm to the environment and people's health.
Exactly. And the Virginia Uranium decision puts the responsibility for figuring out that balance right on the state's shoulders.
Wow.
Now they get to decide if and how uranium mining will happen in their area, and they have to think about all the potential risks and benefits.
This case really shows just how complicated environmental policy can be.
It does.
It's not just about simple yes or no answers.
You're right. Virginia Uranium is a reminder that environmental issues are rarely black and white.
Right.
It's about making tough choices and thinking about all the different interests involved and carefully analyzing the costs and benefits.
So what are the big takeaways for our listeners? What's the main message here?
I think there are a few important things to remember. First, this case shows us that there's always this tension between the federal government and the states.
Right.
Especially when it comes to things like environmental regulations.
Yeah. And it shows how those tensions play out in the courts.
Exactly.
You know, with different judges having different ways of thinking about the law. And that can lead to different outcomes.
Right. Second, it reminds us that we always have to think about the environment when we're making policy decisions.
Yeah.
Whether you're for or against uranium mining, the environmental risks are real. We have to take them seriously.
And finally, this is a big one. This case is like a call to action for all of us to get involved in these important debates. The future of our planet depends on having informed citizens who understand how complex environmental issues are and are willing to work together to find solutions.
That's a great point. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all the environmental problems we're facing.
Right.
But cases like Virginia Uranium show us that we all have a role to play in creating a more sustainable future.
That's a great point to end on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Virginia Uranium, Ingfie Warren. It's been really interesting to explore federalism, environmental law, and how we try to balance all these different interests in a world that just keeps getting more complicated.
Absolutely.
Remember, knowledge is power. And by understanding cases like this, we can all become more informed and engaged. Citizens, thanks for listening.